Welcome to Theory of Anything podcast. Today we have our news segment, we have biotech talk, and hopefully we have a few laughs. What more could you want? Pats and Devon, today I'd like to open with a quick name that film quiz.
Okay.
Yeah,
this isn't in the show notes. Anyway, keep us on our toes. Yeah,
indeed. Yeah. Listeners, feel free to pause and see if you can get this, but together, can you name all the Star Wars films in chronological order?
Chronological?
Yeah, as in within this film timeline.
Right.
Thing. Not when they came out?
No.
So you got episode one.
Episode two, episode three, episode four.
I would like the names. Right,
carry on.
You've got The Phantom Menace.
Nice, yep.
Yeah.
And then you've got The Clone Wars.
Oh, well done.
And then you've got the other Clone Wars.
No.
No, you've got the Attack of the Clones, and then you've got Wars.
Yeah. Very good.
Oh, very good.
And then you've got Revenge of the Sith.
Uh-huh. You have to let Pats get a few of these.
I can do the originals, if you like.
Oh, okay.
But, okay, do I jump in with them?
Well, not yet. let me think. Then you've got the Rebel... Oh. No, the... What was it called?
It's like Solo and all that.
Yes, nice job.
There's Solo, but there's also the one that ends with Darth Vader slicing through people. It runs into the beginning of episode four, and that is called something. I forget. It's quite a good
I can't help you on that one.
You said this was your favourite, Pat.
Really?
In our Star Wars episode, when we reviewed all the Star Wars, you said you loved this one.
Well, it wasn't New Hope. You talked about before New Hope.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did I? I've forgotten.
Fair enough.
I liked something more than A New Hope.
Maybe not your favourite then, but you said you liked it.
I'm trying to remember. I'm sure there's something like Rebel or something. No.
Are you Googling it now?
No, I'm being good.
It should do. Because Solo was a prequel to the original trilogy, wasn't it?
Indeed, yes.
I think it goes Solo and then this one.
And then
because,
A New Hope.
Because this one leads directly into A New Hope, like scene by scene.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Oh, what's it called?
I'm going to have to cut out a lot of this, my goodness.
Help. You're going to have to help us.
Okay. Do you give up?
Yeah.
It's Rogue One.
Oh, Rogue One, yeah.
I can't remember why I like that so much. Oh. I'll have to watch it again to be reminded.
I really like the last scene with Darth Vader. Slicing through those rebels. It's really good.
All right. Okay. So from then on, where do you get?
Then A New Hope. Nice. Then Empire Strikes Back. Now, is there any interspersed between the original three? I don't think so.
There's TV shows.
And then Return of the Jedi. And then it's back to you again.
The Force Awakens.
Nice.
Well done. What a challenge.
The one that everyone hates.
Yeah.
I thought everybody hates the final three. Is there three?
Yep.
I can't remember episode 8.
Let's see. Last Jedi.
Okay. And then The Rise of Skywalker.
Nice.
There we go.
Well now, done. Can I ask a question about the final three? Sounds a bit like a question about Battlestar Galactica, doesn't it?
The final five,
The final five, The final three, obviously, in the original three, you had Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, and Han Solo. Do they all each die in the last three films? Are they all dead by the end of it all?
Yes.
I know Leia dies, but do they all die in a different film?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're taking turns.
You don't see Luke until the end of the first film of that trilogy.
Yeah.
It's like the last scene, he doesn't actually say anything.
But he doesn't die in that film, does he?
No.
So we're talking about episode 7.
Yeah, Han Solo dies in episode 7.
Leia dies in...
Episode 9.
Okay. Yeah. When does Luke die? Episode 8?
Yeah.
So,
that's clever, isn't it?
Yeah. Clever.
I've never spotted that before, yeah.
Mm.
So the three big names from the original three films will take it in turns to have their death moment in the last three films.
It's quite good of them, isn't it?
Or you could redefine it as the writers just using and abusing our favourites.
Yeah. Something to come back for, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Was that it?
Well, yeah. You did a good job. I like it.
Just one question in our quiz.
That's it.
Our movie trivia quiz.
Well, it seems like we're out of news. Do either of you have any news to spare? Any can you share with us?
More news. We've got some more new news, haven't we?
Brilliant. Okay.
This is weird. Yes, we have more news. Good. Don't carry on yet.
Well, we have more to talk about because he's the one who wrote it.
It's a transition. It's great.
You know, you didn't write the news, obviously, but you've highlighted some things you wanted to mention. So let's just get on with it, shall we?
And now it's time for Anything Newsfeed.
Well, first of all, I think we should rename our podcast Things That Happened a Month Ago That No One Wants to Talk About Anymore.
Yeah. Sometimes when you go back to old news, not new news, but old news, you can be more reflective on things. And people are very vocal at the time, but then they haven't had time to reflect. So ours is a more considered approach to current affairs.
Even though you guys have no idea what I'm about to bring up.
I don't know.
Not really. Well, first of all, I wanted to talk a bit about A24. Now, I assume neither of you know what A24 is. No. It's the production company that did Everything Everywhere All at Once. They did Ex Machina. They did The Lighthouse and many more highly acclaimed films.
Yeah,
all ones you like, I'm sure. But now, and by now I mean a month ago, they're reportedly looking to take on bigger IP projects and make more commercial films. I didn't know what you guys might think about that.
What do they mean by that?
I guess they mean that they're not making enough money on their more... Well, here's the thing. The auteur business is lousy, high-risk business that does not attract potential buyers. That's a quote from them. Basically saying, even though their films are pretty great, no one's really paying enough to make it worth their while.
So they want to go to the mainstream.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think that's sad.
Yeah. Because didn't we review Ex Machina?
Yes, one of our first episodes.
And we said how great it was, I'm sure.
We did. I think it's a fabulous film. There's some important things to say, yeah.
If you guys saw Anything Everywhere All at Once, but it was touted as like the best multiverse film ever.
Well, it won Best Picture 2 years ago.
Did it really?
Oscar Picture, yeah.
Yeah.
I think 2 years ago, yeah.
But apparently it's not making enough money, so they're going to have to, I don't know, buy Iron Man or something, I don't know.
But everybody can't be making the blockbusters, can they?
No, but I think everyone wants to, though.
Then we're worse for it, if that's the case. We as consumers are going to be worse for it.
Yeah, it's a consumer's fault, though, because we're all going to watch all these blockbusters. We're going to watch Iron Man return back to Marvel again, even though we killed Iron Man. I mean, another multiverse, just because we want to see Iron Man again.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go and see it, and that's what brings in the money.
But I keep hearing everybody saying how bored they are of the latest Marvel films and the latest, different, you know, how any film with the multiverse in it is just becoming tedious.
Yeah, but you still got to see it because it's Marvel.
I don't get excited by that, I'm sorry.
No.
I get excited when I see something like the film I watched the other day, which brought me to tears, The Great Escaper, with Michael Caine in it. It was a fabulous film about two old people, and he just disappeared from his care home and wanted to go to the memorial site on the beaches of Normandy where he experienced D-Day. And it was the most moving film I've seen for a long time. Not a massive release, but I just cannot understand for the life of me why those films aren't attracting more attention, really. Brilliant performances, a powerful message. And if you want a film that's going to move you emotionally and make you laugh, you know, you can cry and laugh at the same film. Yeah, those are the films that get me excited. True story films.
But everything has to be a brand, doesn't it? Everything has to be a recognisable IP.
Yeah, then we're going the wrong way, I think. Yeah,
I think you're right.
There's much more interesting stories to be told out there.
Speaking of interesting stories, there is such a thing as a BlackBerry biopic that has just come out in England, anyway. Paps, I know you love a good BlackBerry.
Do you know, I keep thinking to myself, why did I ever stop? Why did I move to Apple? Why did I stay with BlackBerry? No, but I love my old BlackBerry. I found one in a box the other day when I was going through stuff. And I thought, oh, this was one of my... I was just so glad. Do you know, I bought my first BlackBerry Storm. Do you remember the BlackBerry Storm?
Oh, yep.
With the clickable screen. Yep. Do you remember that? I think, actually, I handed it on to one of you, didn't I?
Yeah, me.
What? Me.
Wow.
Did you both have one?
I think you had two Storms. One had just click in the middle for the entire screen. Then the other one had five clicks. So the button underneath the screen in
Was there
in
a BlackBerry Storm 2? Yes, there was. Yeah. I forgot that.
And then there was the Touch.
Yeah. Wow. Well, anyway, that first BlackBerry, I was so excited about getting it. I drove 120 miles to go and pick it up rather than wait for the seller on eBay or whatever it was to post it to me.
Wow.
Anyway, that's how much I love BlackBerry.
Great. So did you watch this biopic film about the creation of the BlackBerry company?
I would love to. What channel is it on?
It's a film, so it's still in cinemas currently.
I've not seen it. Never seen it. My multiplex, not seen it mentioned.
Maybe that explains why it's got such a poor reception.
I haven't been yet.
You're the only target audience.
Its budget was $5 million, and it's reached $2.9 million in the box office. So it's still out in cinemas if you find the right cinema. Apparently,
I will look it up. I will look it up.
Yeah, okay. But it's. With intelligence as sharp as its humor, BlackBerry takes its terrifically entertaining look at the rise and fall of a generation-defining gadget. That's what they have to say about the film.
Boring.
Yeah, it does. It does sound a bit boring.
Nothing against BlackBerry, but I'd say the same about any kind of phone. A whole film just for...
You wouldn't watch a biopic about Apple?
No.
Oh, okay.
Maybe about Steve Jobs, maybe, but... About the phone itself.
It's a drama comedy, 2 hours long... just called BlackBerry.
Apparently it was released in the UK. Sorry, in the US and Canada a little while ago, but it's only just come to the UK now. Surprised you haven't caught up on it.
No, I've not seen any trailers for it at our multiplex, and I didn't realise it was out.
There's a showing in Manchester at 6:40. Oh no, it's gone now. There's two showings today, at least
in the country.
Yeah. Anyway. Anything else to say about that?
No.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. Yeah.
Well, another thing that you may want to see, Frasier is coming back. I don't know if you've probably heard about this, the Frasier TV show comedy thing.
Yes.
And I wanted to say, Paps, you're an older fella, right?
Older than you guys, yeah.
In the filmosphere over the last 15 years, we seem to have had quite a few, I don't know, rehashes, reboots, prequels, sequels, midquels, remakes. And I wondered, do you have a memory of all this stuff? Since your memory goes back further than TikTok, you know? has this always been the way, you know?
I don't think it has. No, I think we're talking in relatively recent history. Has it become the way that I think it's lazy writing. People are writing stuff because it's simpler to rehash, reboot. I mean, why are there so many different Spider-Man films? How many relaunches of a brand can you have? Is that what the kind of thing you're thinking?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I don't so much mind a new series of Frasier because that's just a continuation, isn't it? It's the carrying on of telling the story of one of the characters that came from one of my favourite comedies of all time, the Cheers comedy.
Right.
You know, and he came from that as a character and into his own show, you know.
Instead of writing a new show with a new character to tell a new story, they're digging up an old one to tell an old story.
Tell a new story with an old character.
Okay, well, maybe. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. So.
I must admit, as a great fan of Cheers, I didn't really embrace the original Frasier show. I remember how many series there was of Frasier. The ones I did watch were okay, but it didn't move me in the same way that Cheers did. But if I had, I think it's only on Paramount, isn't it? If I had Paramount, I'd be interested to look at this relaunch, revisit.
Yeah.
But I haven't got it, so I can't. I think you were saying, has it always been like this? I don't think it has it?
Fair enough.
Is my answer. I think it's a relatively recent phenomenon.
Your answer with a question. I like it.
Yeah.
Nice. Devon, do you have anything to say about that?
No.
Yeah, fair enough. Hot take, I like
any
it.
Frasier, or really any Cheers or...
Oh, you must have watched some Cheers. I'll lend you my box set when I've finished it. Deb Ford and I have been going through it for a long time, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Whenever we see each other, we try and watch an episode, but we haven't done recently.
Well, very the last...
funny comedy.
Speaking of very funny comedies. So, Rick and Morty Season 7 has just come out, and as many people who care about such things would know, Justin Roiland is out. The voice actor who plays both the main characters has gone through some awkward stuff recently, and they've been replaced by two new actors. Devin, what do you think?
I've not actually experienced listening to these new voice actors.
You watch it all on mute, do you?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay, good. So it makes no difference. But I have actually been impacted in a different TV show. The Solar Opposites also had a voice by Justin. It's Justin, isn't it?
Yes, Justin Roiland.
Yeah, and they really, really messed up the recast. It sounds nothing like him. And it's just very jarring. And it's basically a whole different personality now, rather than just a different voice actor.
Wow. Yeah, well, for my money, in Rick and Morty, I can barely tell the difference. In fact, really? I actually forgot when I was watching the first episode, so they do a very good job.
Apparently Morty doesn't really show up very often, and he's the one who sounds the weirdest.
Oh, okay. Well, I've only seen in like two episodes, so maybe not.
Need to watch it. Mm. Is it on... Where is it? On Netflix again, or is it on...
I'm seeing it on E4 on demand, E4, so... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it usually goes on Netflix later on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Paps, what do you think?
Nothing, really. I'm just wondering how to add to that. I can't.
Have you experienced...
Apart from asking, do I need to watch any of it?
Yes.
Or would it improve my life if I did? Or would I regret losing the hours? And where do I have to go back to the start? And how can I do that if I really must?
Netflix.
Netflix. Is it that good? Yeah.
Well, I don't think you'd like it.
Well,
it's a bit too meta.
Edgy? Oh, yeah. Meta. Okay. Edgy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's edgy and meta. I don't think you'd like it. And there's a lot of it that I don't like because it's just like a bit very on the nose.
You're still insisting that I watched it.
Yeah. You got to give it a try.
I watched a bit of Simpsons the other day and really enjoyed it still. I haven't watched Simpsons for a long time and I thought, that's still funny,
You got to give it a long while. It's been a bit of a phenomenon.
Rick and Morty, yeah.
Yeah, so you give it a try, but I can easily see you not like
I'll
it.
I'll give
so
it I'll a go surprised. Then. If it's on Netflix, I'll add it to my watch list. Yeah,
they're very short episodes as well, so you can fit a few in before you make up your mind. Yeah,
it's animated, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That's why I equated it to The Simpsons, I suppose. But is it rude?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So perhaps you're here to convince us, on behalf of the government, why we should all have implants.
Oh, am I?
So let's move on to our main segment.
And now it's time for Paps Chosen Subject.
That's a bit of pressure on me now then. I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything, but I brought this subject up because... Some time ago, in fact, when I look back, it was about 8 months or 9 months ago, I listened to a podcast episode, which I think I have forwarded to you both. Did you both get a chance to listen to it?
Yes, I did.
I'll be honest, I haven't.
Oh, no. Oh, right. Well, you're coming into this subject blinded a bit, I think.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll try and bring you up to speed then, Devin, and see how it goes, shall we? Basically, this episode of a particular podcast, which I don't think our podcast should really promote other podcasts. Do you? How do you feel about that?
I think it's okay.
Do we want people to be so filled with lots of other podcasts that they can't got time to listen to ours?
I don't think no one is taking our suggestions and then going, oh. I don't think that's happening.
Okay. Well, I mean, I currently subscribe to about 40 different podcasts, so which is very difficult to keep up to date with. Luckily, I have a job which allows me to have my earpiece in all day long. But anyway, so the podcast I'm referring to is one called Digital Human. And I'll read you the episode blurb, and then that will kind of give us a bit of a picture for where this discussion might go. Here we go. Imagine being able to fix a malfunction in your body with a programmable smart device implanted deep inside your body. The device senses, monitors, and responds to your condition in real time and provides updates and analysis on your phone. In the past few years, we've seen a boom in health apps and wearable smart devices, offering personalized and real-time analysis of our daily lives. It's one thing putting on a wearable smart device, but what does it take to trust one implanted inside your body? From continuous glucose monitoring for diabetics to invasive surgery implanting electrodes in the spinal cord or in the brain, how can a closer relationship with implanted health technology affect our trust? From our faith in device functionality, security, and longevity, to our trust of ourselves, be it our agency, identity, and intuition to read our own bodies. So that's the blurb that goes along with the podcast. Now, I want to give a little bit more of my understanding of this subject, because I'm by no means an expert in either biology or technology, and we're kind of merging the two here. Some of the things that we're talking about here. So first of all, remote monitoring devices, as was mentioned in that blurb. And this kind of come close to home, actually, because recently in a minor health scare of my own, when my diabetic sugar levels were, I think they were higher than I expected, I considered the idea of having a wearable patch that implants a probe into your arm and then is able to monitor continuously your sugar levels, and decided, because it was going to cost me £25 a week to do that, that I'll probably carry on doing my pinprick tests twice a day, which, although can be painful, is a lot cheaper. But from those kind of patches, which are becoming more and more popular and available, to even things like, been around a little while now, but heart pacemaker devices. That very much is a piece of technology that is deeply embedded in the human body and seems to have been very widely accepted as being quite normal and okay. And then within this episode that we listened to back in February, there was an example of a guy who suffered from Parkinson's disease, and he had electrodes, as was mentioned in the blurb, implanted deep inside his brain that allowed both himself and other people remotely to take control of some of the effects of the Parkinson's disease itself. Now, we know that that disease affects mobility and muscle spasms and that kind of thing, not knowing a great deal about it, but my understanding of it. But these deep brain stimulation, in other words, these probes that go into the brain, connect to a pulse generator, give the wearer or the user much more control over those disabilities. He describes it like sometimes feeling like Gromit in the wrong trousers. Do you remember that episode of Wallace and Gromit? Yeah. So basically his limbs would move without him having to think about it. So whether he was connected remotely to somebody else or him himself doing it. So that's quite a weird sensation, I'm sure. It's, there might be anxieties and uncertainties about that, but the treatment did give him control back over his body and over the disease in which he was suffering. So that's just a couple of examples.
Yeah, that example, he said that when he went through airport security, it reset the device or something.
It did, yeah.
And it took him weeks to realize that he obviously felt really bad and it wasn't nothing was quite working right. And when he went to the doctors, it was only then that he realized, oh yeah, that it's been reset, it's no good. So
there are vulnerabilities obviously to every technology system, and I guess we're at the early stages of, in the foothills of it really, aren't we? So really, what's your first thoughts? I mean, how do we feel about these developments in technology and about how they're increasingly becoming more and more invasive and intrusive into the human body? Do we have any anxieties about that, or do we see the benefits outweighing the risks? Any thoughts?
My first thought is, if you have one of these, do you get to call yourself a cyborg?
I guess.
Because if that's the case, I'm in. No, I immediately see the benefits as it comes to maybe like GPS stuff. Like, could I now track my wife or something like that? Not in a weird way, just in a I know she's safe kind of way, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Maybe that is a weird way. Maybe that's a
I wasn't expecting you to say that. I want to. Yes, it's a good thing because I can track my wife. Yeah.
Do you not feel that sometimes when someone's been away for longer than you would have thought they would, and then you're like, oh, I wonder if something horrible has happened. There's no way I could find out.
I can do that with her phone. I know she's by her phone.
Maybe I text her and she doesn't reply, or I call her and she doesn't reply. It sounds like my wife's really shady now, doesn't it? I don't know.
That's one way of looking at it, I guess.
I think my main concern that springs to mind is if someone has any control over the devices, who's not me. Obviously, that gives up your bodily autonomy. Like, someone else can get you to do something that you don't want to do.
Remote monitoring.
Along those lines, they're talking about they need to try harder at combining AI with this stuff.
Ah.
So there could be...
That was going to be my next question.
Excuse me.
That's all right. That's okay. Mm.
We're all excited for the robot uprising, aren't we? So that could be another big step in their development, controlling humans.
My next question was going to be, how will the inclusion of AI change things? So, we're looking at different technologies that are fairly passive, really. But when you add AI into the mix, decisions being made by technologies that are monitoring wherever it's getting its inputs from, but then making decisions on our behalf, I think is a whole new level, isn't it?
Because they were saying something like, when things go wrong, it's not immediately obvious. Yeah. Like that example with the guy who went through the airport security. It took him a few weeks to even notice. Well, not notice, but to be able to figure out exactly what went wrong. So AI would fill that gap, whereas it can adjust, But it does sound like a step too far in the wrong direction, I think.
There's something worrying about that, I think, isn't there? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not wholly against it, especially when it comes to, obviously, health benefits, as you said, because we're already doing it now.
Yeah.
When you mentioned, like, pacemakers and things. So where do you really draw the line? Maybe where it comes to convenience over health, like using it as like your house key or your car key, like, is that necessary? Or does it have to be necessary to warrant actually getting it?
Well, I wonder how advanced this could get. Like, could it be doing blood tests on you, I don't know, once a week, and then it messages you when you... Like, could this diagnose cancer, like some forms of cancer at least?
Yeah.
So you know as soon as something goes horribly wrong. I mean, we just don't know half the time how worse off we are. I don't know, medically speaking. So diagnostically, this could just shoot through the roof, couldn't it?
Yeah.
The utility of the diagnostics alone.
Yeah, I mean, people don't really go for blood tests very often unless they're already having symptoms of an issue.
That's true.
So maybe finding these issues before they actually become symptomatic it may actually be really, really useful in terms of treatment.
Obviously, it all gets a bit awkward when, say, the company goes bust or...
Yeah.
I don't know. Or you stop paying them. I mean, what happens? Yeah. Do they take it away from you? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. These are all important considerations, I think, aren't they? About the direction in which we're going.
I read somewhere you can get it done for £130. You can get one of these chips put in you. It's a generic one that you can program yourself, so you could just put your card details on there and then you can just pay with your hand. Or you can, I don't know, just put like, how a businessman would have a card, You can put your business details on there so someone could just scan your hand with their phone and there it is.
Mm.
So it's very programmable, apparently. Not obviously you're talking about a specifically medical thing, but there are other types.
Oh, gosh, yeah. There are other biological and technological enhancements, aren't they?
Yeah, I was just looking at... I just watched a YouTube video of a guy at a drinks machine, just put his hand on the... It works the same way as you do with your contactless card.
Yeah.
I forget what they call it now. Mm. It's something F...
Near field. NFC.
That's it.
Yes.
Yeah. So it works with that technology, but yeah.
Are we at all comfortable with that? Obviously, we have highlighted some of the benefits, but what are the very real dangers of it as well?
Well, another negative that occurred to me was healthcare premiums could go up. Say your insurance company starts saying, yeah, okay, we'll start, your life insurance company, say, yeah, sure, we'll give you cover and whatever, just give us the right to connect to your implant.
Yeah.
And then the second something starts to go wrong, your premiums go up.
Mm.
I don't know. Is that potential? Because they'll know that there's something wrong with you and they'd obviously don't want to be paying for that, do they?
They're increasing their understanding. Their data on you is going to go through the roof, isn't it? So they can base any premium any number of different areas of life could be recorded, couldn't it? What about any spiritual concerns? You know, we could talk a little bit about all the benefits and the disadvantages physically, but what about spiritually? Does this ring any alarm bells as Christians?
In films, these sort of dystopian future things where you see people with, well, normally it's like a mechanical arm, they're cyborgs very externally, and it almost feels like they're subhuman. They're not really there anymore because they're just replaced their eyes, say, with a bionicle eye and all this. And obviously that's not what we're talking about, but it's similar. And it kind of feels a bit weird in that respect. It's like part of me is now machine, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously some people have to do it, like this guy on the episode that you showed us.
Yeah.
He did it for health reasons and that's necessary, but I don't know if we should definitely necessarily be doing it recreationally.
Or cosmetically, perhaps. Mm. People do have life-changing disabilities, you know, physical disabilities that can be rectified, don't they? You know, with body enhancements.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like a technophobe, you know, but still. I mean, I assume when you aren't, say, spiritual, you're potentially bringing up the fact that a lot of people go around expecting us. So in Revelation, in the Bible, there's this thing about the mark of the beast, the 666, that is said to be on the forehead or on the hand, where you won't be able to buy or sell anything because unless you have this mark. And a lot of Christians have gone around saying that could be implants.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're talking about that, no, I think that's nonsense. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I mean, before recording, we had a little bit of a conversation, didn't we, about what that might look like. But I think we all agreed that the Bible doesn't actually specify what that looks like in technical terms, does it? And there's speculation about the moves in technology to have under-the-skin implants could infer this mark as being like a way of paying for things. If you don't have to have your phone or your wallet with you, you can just wave your hand at a scanner and then you'll be purchasing things in a way that the scriptures sometimes infer but don't explicitly say.
I'm strongly under the impression that marks on the hands and the forehead is a reference to the phylacteries that Jewish people used to, and maybe still currently, they strap these. It's a little hard to explain. Basically, they have these little boxes that have pieces of paper with scripture in it on their hands and on their forehead. And I think the idea, personally, as far as I can understand it, is that the 666 on the forehead, on the hand, is the idea that you are abandoning the marks, the scripture being close to your hands and head. You're replacing that with something that's from the devil, basically. And I don't know quite how that links with the buying and selling, but I think that's the reference.
Okay.
But that's just my take.
I've heard that suggested as well, yeah. Mm. Any thoughts, Devin?
I don't instantly go, oh, that spiritually doesn't feel wrong, but it is a bit creepy and it's a bit, kind of puts you a bit on high alert, I suppose, when you think about it, because it's very intrusive. It feels like, you can't just put it down. And you can't, like with the phone, you can just put it down and walk out. Then no one knows where you're going. But with this, it's always going to be connected to the internet or whatever. And there's all that means it's always you're able to get someone else is able to get into it, basically. Because whenever anything is connected to the internet, there's always a possibility that someone's going to access it who shouldn't. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. I hadn't considered whether it was being hacked or something like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are securities in place to stop people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can allow certain people to access it and other people not, obviously, but things can always be hacked, can't they?
Well, example, and this is going back away now, I mean, my dad, before he died, he'd had a pacemaker fitted, and every night his activities, if you like, were downloaded automatically without him knowing by the hospital or doctor, I can't remember which, via a device that was next to his bedside table. So it uploaded all his data each night time while he was asleep and into this device, which could then be accessed by the medical professions professionals, and they could look at what had happened that day, you know. So these things are deliberately made accessible in some cases. But if the next level of that includes artificial intelligence, then, you know, what's to stop that device? Oh, we noticed that the rate at which we're controlling your heart rate, it needs tweaking a bit, you know, and so let's make those changes now without anybody, neither a doctor nor your, neither the patient or the doctor knowing. And those decisions could be made autonomously, you know.
Very, very skeptical about trusting big corporations with your data. Just with experience, they just sell the data to the highest bidder. With, I know we opt into it a lot. We all do at the moment with our phones, with the social medias, with whatever we're using. All different apps want all the access to the data because that's where all money is. Because we're a product. And whoever's making these implants, it's hard to believe that they would be non-corrupt and they would respect your own privacy. You'd have to opt into all these things to be able to use it. And they'll sell your data and they'll just use you as a product.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of fine print that nobody bothers to read.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. To click tick, you agree to the terms and conditions. We don't know what we're letting ourselves in for, do we?
I have a hard enough time connecting my phone to my car radio. I find it hard to believe that you'll go your lifetime without having trouble connecting to this thing.
I mean, my mind just works overtime on this. I think in way, okay, there's a lot of talk at the moment about the dangers of artificial intelligence and where it's going. Once AI has access to any number of different biotech implants, you know, and if it turns bad, then anybody who's got those technologies implanted is in a really vulnerable position, aren't they? And we've all seen plenty of films that kind of, you know, they've not seen Terminator yet. You know, they don't have to drop nuclear bombs to have a massive effect on a large swathes of humanity if this becomes more and more the norm, you know.
It is apparently quite common in Sweden. I don't know. I guess they consider themselves quite early adopters when it comes to technology. So, but I think it's very cool, but I don't think I'd want to cross that line, at least not until they can install a laser or something in my arm, you know? And I can be like a super, I'll be a superhero or something. I think that'd be cool.
Have a gun that's implanted in your thigh that you can just,
Oh, like Robocop.
It comes out your leg, Well, I don't know if there's much more to be said about it. I think there's some great benefits, but I'm also very wary of some of the pitfalls and the dangers. I'll just end with one thought, though, if we're drawing to a close, are we?
Yeah.
This is another quote, or I've kind of adapted slightly from the final thoughts of the podcast I referenced at the beginning. Is technology glued to our ears in the form of a smartphone very different to it being implanted under the skin? Are chemicals in medication pills very different to code in computer programs? Because we can, and I think the explanation of those two thoughts are, obviously, we're already cyborgs, if you like. It's just the technology is not under our skin. It's in our pockets. There's not much of a difference, is there, between pocket. Apart from, as you, I think, alluded to, Ford, well, I can put my phone down. Or was it you, Devin? I can't remember who said that. Devin said, I can just switch it off. I have that option, you know. If it's something implanted in your brain or, what do you call it, a pacemaker, we don't have those options, do we? So that's one of the main differences. But it's not very different, is it, in terms of what we're allowing already to be accessible to the authorities and
How often tech do you actually put your phone down and leave it at home when you go out? Not very often anyway. So, but it's the choice.
I mean, my wife and I have deliberately given each other permission to know where the other one is with a very, very simple use of the Find My Friend app on the phone, you know. And lots of people do that all the time, don't they? So you don't necessarily need to have an implant in your wife to know where she is.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Strictly speaking, that's not true, because all you know is where her phone is. You don't know where she is. But as we said, how often do you put your phone anywhere else other than where you are? But the interesting thought in that line that I just read, what about the chemicals in pills that we take? You know, decades and decades pharmacy companies have been manufacturing, and we don't know what's in them, do we? But we trust them. We trust the companies that provide these life-enhancing products. You know, they either prolong life or they make life easier to cope with, you know, if you have a medical condition. But if we might be anxious about artificial intelligence and its computer programming code because we don't understand that, or we don't understand pharmaceutics either, do we? You know. So those are just a few thoughts. I kind of argued against my earlier probably considerations, but I can see both sides of this coin, I think. Both excited and scared about the whole thing, really.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that as well, to be honest.
I was really excited about the idea of the Google Glass, you know, the glasses that have a...
Oh, yes.
Where did that go, you know?
I know, because that felt like a real enhancement. Not implanted, but it would add an augmented vision of the world.
Bring that back. That's what I say.
Yeah, they went, it flopped, didn't it? But I've heard talk about other versions of it, you know, other companies are working on similar ideas.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like Geordie LaForge's visor, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another Star Trek reference there for anybody else who doesn't know. It's funny how that character actually, we didn't even, obviously when the first time you see him, he's got this band across his eyebrow level, across his eyes, you know, and he did look a bit odd. But as the series progressed, you know, first season of Star Trek Next Generation, you didn't even notice it, did you, after a while?
And there are scenes with him where he takes it off and it looks weird.
He looked weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny what we can get used to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we did all start wearing devices over our eyes that allowed us to see a different vision of the world in which we, like, you know, our map instructions over our eyes, so you can, you know, or people's names popping up above their heads, you know, things like that would be helpful sometimes.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah. Especially in church when you're trying to remember a person's name. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Having a conversation, what's your name? Yeah. Oh dear. So there we are.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that Google Glass, because that's something I was thinking about earlier when thinking about this conversation we're having now. That's it then, really.
Cool.
Thank you for your thoughts.
Well done.
Let's set your next assignment and say toodaloo.
I think it's high time we reviewed a few songs. Am I right?
Right now. Well, soon. Not now. No.
Oh, not now. Yeah, maybe next episode, and maybe it's David Bowie, and maybe the album is Let's Dance.
Wow,
brilliant!
Who could say?
Wow, is that the possibility?
Yeah. I think that's a very real possibility.
Oh wow!
So tune in next time, and maybe listen along to that album ahead of time, and we can you can hear our thoughts, and perhaps even message in ahead of time. And tell us your thoughts.
Wow.
We'd love to include them in the show. Yeah.
Indeed. Well, I want to thank you all for getting this far. We hope you've loved it and hope you've enjoyed a good old gaff that we've had. If you've got a gaffing or two that you want to share with us, please hop down into the comments section if you're watching this as a video on YouTube. And if not, pop into the description and perhaps send us an email or a Twitter. Or all the information should be down there in the description below. Also, we have our polls down there that you can vote on to make us review whatever you want. Whatever you want.
It's like we're being controlled from a power beyond our own body.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's from like an option of free, but whatever.
We're like Gromit in the wrong trousers being told what to do. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, dear. I was just thinking, though, it wasn't a very funny episode, was it? I just worry that we didn't have many laughs. Did we? I know, Forge, you're very good at trying to make it add humour, but yeah. But it wasn't a particularly funny subject, was it? I'm sorry about that.
No, it's very serious.
Especially as you said at the very beginning that we were going to have a laugh.
Yes, I did, didn't I?
You lied.
Yeah.
We lied. I'm sorry. It's marketing.
Gaffes. Mm-hmm. Is gaffes a real word?
Is that not a synonym for
chat? Gaff, I thought, was usually a mistake.
I thought a gaff was like your house.
Oh, yeah. It is, isn't it? Yeah. It's where you live, isn't it?
Yeah. Your flat.
So it was also a mistake.
I thought the gaffer was like the boss.
Boss, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Well, we've ended the show on a high.
Yeah. It's all things tall folks, I think. That's what that is.
The English language, eh? Let's all laugh about that.
Please give us a thumbs up if this is a video, or a rate and review if you're listening to it on a podcast. That really gives us a good old boost, you know, in the old the algorithm. Do you guys have any last words?
Thank you very much. Always love being around a microphone with you, even though we don't share with the same microphone.
We don't do it, it's very sad.
Not very often. We did once.
Once upon a time. Well, same time next week, anyone? I'll just say that's it. We'll see you in a bit.
That's not the bit you say at the end of this episode.
Oh, no, I'm looking at the wrong page. In that case, it's
that's
you, Pat.
That's how we sign off our review shows.
Oh, no, it's all fallen through.
So to finish one of our other episodes, it's not a review show.
Go on.
I'll say, until we meet around a microphone again next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.